Let's take our Bible this morning, please, and turn to Luke chapter 17 for our scripture reading. Luke chapter 17. The title of the message is Thanksgiving, but where are the nine? Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. Excuse me. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were leopards, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Father, we're grateful for the truth that we find in parables and in stories and true accounts as this with Jesus Christ. And we know that leprosy is a type that represents sin, and all of us are guilty of sin. As we think about being washed white as snow, as we sing about it, we know that in and of ourselves, we are that stranger, that Samaritan outside the covenant. And we have no means or ability to cleanse ourselves, but by your stripes are we healed. And we ask that you would give the truth and help us to deliver the truth. Let me be thy servant today. And I pray that you would enable me to preach this passage, that each of us here would be able to relate and see our need. Those who may be here who are for one reason or the other without Christ, may they see that they're one with this dreaded disease. And you're the only physician, you're the great physician that can take it away. Then those of us who have been healed from our sins and iniquities, may we truly give thanks for the God who loved us and gave his only Son, and for the Son who loved us and gave his life. Meet our needs. Meet with us in this hour. In thy name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Just a few days ago, multitudes of people gathered around their dining room table with families and friends to celebrate the holiday known as Thanksgiving. After the great meal that I had, I'm grateful it only comes once a year. I wonder how much Thanksgiving was there, though. Was there simply a prayer and a word or two, and then we dive into the meal? Are we truly grateful for what God has done for us? Consider this morning how many blessings we have. Consider where we would be without the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we truly have reason to be thankful, and perhaps this morning there are some of us here who are truly struggling with some difficult issue. We have some great struggle in our life. We can even be thankful that we don't have to go through those struggles alone. For he's told us that he will never forsake us or leave us. This morning I want us to turn our attention to the scriptural account of these 10 men that Jesus greatly blessed by healing them of a terrible disease known as leprosy. And as we consider them, perhaps we should consider ourselves as we view Thanksgiving. Notice, first of all, if you would, their condition. They had the dreaded disease known as leprosy. Those with leprosy, they had several stipulations that were given about them from the law. They had to stay within 100 paces from others. They would have to wave a white rag and they would have to cry, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" Notice in verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass, or verse 11 rather, and the Bible says, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into the city village, or a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They were quite aware of their condition. No one had to tell them that they were terribly sick men. And as they had to go into different places and keep their distances and wave the white flag shouting unclean, they were in a terrible, terrible, desperate situation. Not only were they infected with the terrible disease of leprosy, but the Bible says in verse 12, they stood afar off. You see, the law says that they could not infiltrate other groups for fear of passing that disease on. So these 10 were drawn together by their common disease. All of us here, we have a common bond too. We were conceived in sin. We're born a sinner. And we see here that they were drawn together. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it deals with the understanding of being afar off. In verse 13, the Bible says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity which the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through him," Jesus, "we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers or and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." These men with leprosy, they knew of their condition. It was a desperate situation. They understood the Levitical law, how they had to stay away. Leprosy was nothing more than a short living death while the body lose limb after limb until it actually decayed and fell away. A horrible, horrible disease. And it represents in the Bible the sin that we all deal with that also decays us and also causes us great misery and final death. Here, they were afar off. And the Bible says in Ephesians, Paul gives us understanding that now that we're in Christ, we were sometime afar off, but we are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand this? No one's made nigh unto Christ by what we do. Whether we join this church or any other church, or whether we've been baptized or not, or whether we take the sacraments or not, there are not things that you and I do to obtain salvation. Jesus said on the cross of Calvary, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Jesus did it all. And there is nothing that we can contribute to it. It's only works. These men were far off. These men were in a horrible condition. These men were without hope. Now, I want to tell you, there have been people who have been in terrible situations. I've talked to men who were Vietnam POWs, and they talked with me and told me how they just tried to find just anything that would give them a glimmer of hope. One man wrote a story and told about how he could lay underneath his bunk and look out just a little crack in the wall and could see a green blade of grass, and that would give him hope. It's amazing how the body can continue and how life can go on as long as we have a measure of hope. But these men, they were without hope. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There was no cure for this horrible disease. They could do nothing to help their condition, nor could anyone ease their pain or meet their need. Perhaps they had heard that Jesus was the one who could heal the sick. Perhaps they had heard that Jesus was coming through this region. So therefore they went and they stood at the gate of the city. But perhaps this was the thread of hope that drew them to approach Jesus and to cry out to him. I want to tell you this. Jesus is the hope of the world. And preaching Jesus Christ is the need. I'm glad that we can preach on husband and wife relationships, and I'm glad, and we need to preach on how to help the family, and I'm glad, and we need to preach about how to rear children, and we need to preach and teach about the facts of the Bible. But I want you to know the greatest message that needs to be preached today is Jesus Christ and how He is the hope of the world. And no matter what you've done or where you've been or what you're into, hallelujah, He brings forgiveness to all. You see, they were without hope. They were far off. They were strangers and foreigners. We see their condition. Notice their cure. They all cried out to Jesus. In verse 13, the Bible says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The Bible says they lifted up their voices. One of the symptoms of this disease was almost a total loss of voice. Isn't it amazing? Their crying out was born from a great desperation. Can I tell you this? No one has ever received salvation who didn't first cry out to Jesus. And may I say this to you? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. They cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the right one, for He is the great physician. He's their only hope. And whatever rumors they might have heard or whatever gave them their hope to come and meet Him, it was motivating to them to go and for them to, in unison, to pull their voices and all the strength that they had and cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice their cry. It was a cry mixed with humility and a desire for mercy. In Psalm 27, verse 7, the psalmist says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. In Mark chapter 10, verse 47, the scripture says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They humbly cried out to God. They were in no position to make any kind of demands. And they cried out for mercy. And I want you to know this, every guilty man desires mercy. They cried out to Jesus. They cried out with humility. They cried out for mercy. And then they were commanded to go show themselves to the priest. Jesus speaks to them in verse 14 and he says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, now they're at least 100 paces away, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, why would he tell them that? Because he was the Word made flesh. In Leviticus chapter 13, we have the understanding. In verse 9, the Bible says, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it hath turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, It is an old leprosy in the skin of the flesh. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean. Now, to be pronounced unclean would be a social outcast. And as I've already explained to you, they would have to keep their distance at least 100 paces. In some part of the city, they'd have the leper's rag there on a post, and that those with leprosy would go there and they would cleanse their wounds and their sores. On that rag would be the putrefying disease and filth and pus from leprosy. When the Bible tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags, that's the rag it's talking about. And we see here that they would go to the priest. The Bible says in verse 12 of Leviticus 13, and if the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean. As they went, the Bible says in verse 14 of our text, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed of this horrible, filthy, damning disease. What does that say, Pastor? That says that salvation is immediate. Oh, yeah. The Bible says, as they went, what does that say, Pastor? That says they were obedient to the instruction. See, God has a plan of salvation. And any other plan or any adapting to that plan is an issue, let me tell you. As they went, they were cleansed. Salvation is immediate. We see their condition and we see the cure. Now notice the one. This is powerful. The Bible says in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. This one of the ten turned back and came to Jesus. He returned when he saw that he'd been cleansed from his disease. He returned to glorify God and to worship God. In verse 16, the Bible says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He returned to give thanks unto God. I know some of you have heard this before, but just a few years ago when I was in China, visiting the Rays and looking at our churches there and the Bible Institute, and just this past year we started a Christian school. But you have beggars everywhere there. And some of you who have been to China, you know what I'm talking about. They're professional beggars. And there are some who will come up to you and they'll have their little child and their leg will be bleeding, and you can tell that they've taken a razor blade and they've cut their child's leg, and you can see where they've cut it many times in the past. And they'll come up with a sad look and they'll say, see my daughter's leg, see how she is hurt. Would you give us money so that we can help her? They were that way. And I've been instructed not to give out any help or any aid, because if I did, it would just, we'd be flocked. And we'd seen that before, by the way. It was not a good sight. It can become dangerous. We had a situation like that. The police came and they literally beat those people with sticks, and then they were angry with us as well. And we were walking down, I think Neil Ray was with me, and we were walking down the street, and there's this man that was there. And I want to tell you, I've seen a lot of pitiful things in my sight, but this is one of the most pitiful things I've ever seen. This man had no legs at all. He was covered in filth. He was black with filth. He was an elderly person. His hair was very long, very gray. He was balding greatly. He had some gloves that had the fingers cut out, and his nails were just black with filth, and he had like some type of hard, like maybe even leather on his hands, because he sat on a small piece of wood with little wheels on it, and he would roll himself like this. And I walked past him, and there were beggars across the street, and he was here. He didn't ask for anything. I walked past him, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart, and I tell you, I was moved with compassion. I felt like, oh, can I go help that man? And I turned to Neil Rass. I know we're not supposed to help these people, but I tell you, I really feel like I need to help that man. I feel like if I don't, I feel like I'll regret it all the way back to the States. And Brother Ray told me, he said, Pastor, get your money out. Don't let anybody see it, and go by there and discreetly put it in his little jar and move on quickly. So I pulled out an American 20. Now understand, 35 kwai can buy almost anything in China. That's about $5 or $6 U.S. dollars. I'm not sure that's true today, but it was then. And I went by and discreetly took and put a $20 bill in his little cup and turned around and walked away briskly. And I heard the screaming and the yelling, and it sounded fierce. And I turned and I looked at him, and he had his hands like this. He's bowing, no legs. I mean, barely any body, and bent all the way down to the sidewalk many times, screaming and shouting. And I asked Neil Ray, I said, what's he saying? He said, he's basically worshiping you. For you've given him enough money to take him off the streets for over a month. Now, I'm certainly no Jesus. There's no mistaking that. But this man looked down and he was cleansed. He goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He falls on his face before him and begins to shout praises for the healing that he received. He alone received this cleansing. Not the cleansing of his body, but he alone received the cleansing of his soul. He alone saw Jesus Christ as the Messiah. In verse 19, Jesus says to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. His body and his sin-sick soul was healed that day. He was grateful for it. True thanksgiving. My soul was healed on August the 18th, 1968. I was just an 11-year-old boy. I was not from a Christian home. We started this little bitty church. I remember going to Sunday school and hating it. Many times I would pretend to be sick so I wouldn't go. I called it Sunday school-itis. You have it about 8 o'clock and you get over about 10:15. But this was different. The preacher preached, and I remember there's 3 Sundays that he preached. We wasn't in that church for 3 months. But during that time, I came under great conviction, and I didn't know anything, but I knew I was a lost sinner, and I knew there was a hell. And I heard that Jesus was the Son of God. Up until then, I never knew anything. You may not be able to believe this, but until then, I didn't know Christmas is about the birth of Christ. I thought it was about Santa Claus. Up until then, I didn't know Easter was about the resurrection. I thought it was about getting new clothes and hunting Easter eggs. When you grow up in a Christless home, that's what you know. This man was healed. I don't think he ever got over. We see his condition. We see their cure. We see the one Let's close by looking at the comparison. Notice the one is a picture of a repentant sinner who comes to Christ. He was lost in a crowd with leprosy. Leprosy is that type of sin that destroys. And without Christ, we are lost in a crowd of sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." While others were satisfied with a physical cleansing, this man, this one, realized he needed more. He came to Jesus in faith. He received salvation. He received it immediately. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So this one represents the repentant sinner who comes to Christ. The nine, they represent the body of religion. They saw Jesus as a good teacher. They called him Jesus. They called him master. A master means rabbi or good teacher. These nine sought only for a cure for their terrible sick condition. Understand, religion deals with the symptoms of sin and the condition sin brings, instead of dealing with the source and the cause of those conditions. They were more concerned with the outside than they were the inside. Do you know the view that Jesus takes on religion? In Matthew 23, verse 25, the Bible says, "Woe," or Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee," he's speaking to the religious crowd. By the way, it was the religious crowd that said crucify him. "Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." That's Jesus' view of religion. We can clean ourselves up, and we can put on that nice suit and grab that King James Bible, and we can go off to church and we can sing praises or even sing in the choir. But I want you to know, it's not the cleaning of the outside that makes the difference. And I learned a long time ago, when the inside has been touched by God, the outside is affected shortly. Consider the application here. Just a couple of thoughts, three or four thoughts. Number one, they were needy. We have needs as well. You know what I have found with many people? They're needy and they don't acknowledge or realize their need. I pray every service for God to reveal the needs of people to themselves. I don't need to acknowledge your need, and I don't need to realize your need. God needs to reveal that to you. We have needs today. Our needs are not always as outwardly visible as what these men's needs were. Do we allow circumstances to keep us from coming to Christ with our needs? What's allowing you? What is the issue, the situation, or the circumstance that keeps you from coming and receive a free pardon from sin? I don't understand people who, if they truly understand, If you were here this morning and you had a terrible bout or a terrible disease of cancer, and this morning there was a cure that we could give out to you, you'd be the first one running up here. And I want you to know this. Leprosy, as ugly and as hideous and as deadly as it is, it's child play to sin. For one day we'll stand before God undone in our sins and undone in our transgressions and iniquity, and we'll have no excuse. These men, they were needy. We do not need to allow our circumstances to keep us from responding to the love of Jesus Christ. Not only were they needy, but notice they found the help that they needed. Come to Jesus. He knows your needs and He can meet those needs. Jesus is the need filler. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. John 7:37. In the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Sometimes God allows circumstances in our lives to come that we might be encouraged to run to Him. They found great need and they found great help for their need. I want to tell you this. Jesus is what this world needs. Notice thirdly, that we should be thankful for the way the Lord blesses us. Jesus turns to this one, and all 10 of them, as they hear, go show yourself to the priest, they begin going. As they do, they look and they believe, they see, and the leprosy has disappeared. Those blemishes and all of those marks and all that comes with that is gone, and their skin is as soft and as pure as a tender little child, a baby. One stops and sees that and turns with great pathos and thanksgiving and begins to shout praises to the Lord. By the way, isn't it interesting how the Bible points out that he was the Samaritan? Isn't that interesting? And later the Bible calls him a stranger. He wasn't under the covenant of the Jews. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And the Samaritan came and fell on his face and began to worship him. And Jesus looks at him and says, were there not 10? Where are the 9? Perhaps they felt that they no longer needed the Lord Jesus. You know, that happens. There are those who use the Lord Jesus as an emergency lever when trouble comes. And no longer do they need Him. Thankfulness brings additional blessing upon our lives. The one who returned was made complete. He had a physical healing, but he had a spiritual healing as well. What's the key? Jesus tells him in verse 19, thy faith have made thee whole. Salvation is by the grace of God through faith. And the object of that faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you today? Are you among the 9? Think about the multitudes that would come and Jesus would sit them down in groups of 100s and 50s, and there'd be 5,000 men plus their wives plus their children, possibly 25, 30,000 people or so there. And Jesus took 2 fishes and 5 loaves and broke them and fed them. And the Bible says there's 12 baskets left over. I think that was an object lesson for those 12 disciples. But Jesus turns one day and he tells his disciples that the multitudes have departed from him. Will ye also go away? See, there are some people who, if they can get a meal or if they have their physical needs met, they're blinded by the devil about their spiritual need. Your spiritual need is your soul needs to be reconciled to the sovereign God. And Jesus Christ is the Savior who steps in on the cross and He stretches His arms out wide. He grabs the hand of that sovereign God and He reaches in the pit of that sinful man. And He's the only one who can reconcile us. Have you sometime, somewhere, come near to Jesus, but not to Jesus? These 10, they, by the law, could only come within so close to Him. And Jesus tells them, go show thyself to the priest. And when they saw they were cleansed, they rejoiced and ran off. But only one came back. Listen, all of them were near Jesus, but only one of them came to Jesus. And you can be near Jesus, but friend, you're not saved till you come to Him. Have you come to Him with thanksgiving for what He's already done? If you've got a good life, it's because of Jesus. If you've got a good marriage, it's because of Jesus. All the blessings that we have, all the outstanding privileges that we get, there are no self-made men. I want to tell you something. Every blessing and every good thing we have is a result of the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving Him. God the Father says, come. The Holy Spirit says, come. Jesus says, come. Come to Jesus, for only He can satisfy your soul. Now I'm done this morning. Would you stand with me? And look this way. We have much to be grateful for. None of us here who are on our way to heaven deserve that. We deserve quite the other. I don't care how good of a man or how much of a humanitarian you may be. There is none good, no, not one. The goodness that we do is a direct result of the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving Him. Listen to me. Whatever your condition may be today, wherever you're at, and you may be in a pitiful, sorrowful condition, but we can pray for our sorrow to turn to joy, and we don't have to go through the valley by ourselves. We have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ there. We should be thankful for that. We need to be thankful people. We look back at the beginning of our country, and we think of those pilgrims and our forefathers and sitting down that first Thanksgiving with the Indians who survived a terribly severe winter, and they were giving thanks to God. But that was years ago. We need to look at today and what God's done in our life. And then you listen to me. Whatever reason that hinders you from coming to Christ, it is the wrong reason. And whatever excuse you give, it is not good enough. Jesus loves you and He beckons you to come. Don't come near Him and walk away. Come to Him. Father, bless our invitation. Meet our needs. Show us what our needs are. Certainly, in this group of people, there could be some who are undone, who are lost. Show them their need. For if they were in a burning house, we would rush to aid them, to help them, to get them out. If they had a dreaded disease and we had the cure, we would rush and give it to them. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And we have the cure, and the cure is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. May we help them. Come to Him today. Many of us here have been saved for a long time now. May we never take it for granted. May we not be like the 9 who received the great healing. Our sin-sick soul was healed, and now we've taken it for granted. For we could be that homeless person. We could be that dear person who has the drinking problem, that dear person that's hooked on drugs, that dear person in great, great wickedness. Jesus has made the difference. May we never lose that thanksgiving for that. May we never get far from the foot of the cross, may we give thanksgiving to you. In thy name I pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Understand, no one's going to come to you. You need to come to Him. But we are here to help you. And when the music plays, if the child of God needs to come and say, I just want to give thanks to my Lord for all He's done for me, for all the blessings, the wife I have by my side, the husband I have, the children God's blessed me with, the life that God's provided for me, all of that is not by chance. That's not all of me and my hard work. That's the blessings of God on my life. I truly ought to come and give thanks for that. But if you're here this morning and you're without Christ, you may not know what to do. I want to ask you, just find your way at the front, and I'll be here to help you. If you're a lady, one of our ladies will take the Bible in a quiet place and show you from God's Word how you can be saved and know it, never to have to fret or worry about it again. If you're a man, one of our men will do that. Will you be obedient to the Spirit of God today? That nudging, that urging that you feel with inside, that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, drawing you to come to Him. As the instrument begins, you come right now.